Thank you, choir and our praise band, Miriam and our orchestra. And I want you to turn today to Psalm 23. I'll be reading through that backwards and forwards as we go through the message. I think we need to begin today with praise for the Supreme Court stance on Roe versus Wade. I honestly never thought I'd live long enough to see that decision made, but the battle is not over. Far from it. There'll be efforts for Congress to make new laws, and that will go back to the Supreme Court too and see it's in violation of the Constitution. Then our women's health care locations like Haven, they're in danger right now. Already, many of the women's health care buildings have been firebombed. Nobody arrested. Nobody will be prosecuted. It's really sad. So actually, our director and our volunteers are putting their lives on the line by going to work at these alternative to abortion, these pro-life places of ministry. So I thought we'd begin today just by prayer about this issue. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the victory that we saw through our Supreme Court. Thank you that we have some people that will stand for Bible-based values. Lord, I pray you build a hedge of protection around these Supreme Court justices and also their families as their lives are being threatened. And Lord, I pray for those who work at places like Haven that we stand with and support, not only financially, but with people in our congregation who go there to be counselors. Pray that you build a hedge of protection around them as well. We live in a very godless and hypocritical nation. We oftentimes call other countries down for human rights violations, and then we're aborting 1 million babies a year in this country. Forgive us, Lord. I pray today for people who have had an abortion and they've rethought that. And Lord, we realize there is forgiveness. There is cleansing through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you give us the resources to be a part of the solution to protect the lives of innocent little babies. And pray, Lord, that you would continue to use us in a mighty way to stand for life at every stage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Next Sunday I'll be sharing a message, Does God Belong in Government? In the next week, on July the 10th, I'll be sharing another message entitled America, Has She Forgotten God? And I hope you'll come for both of those. But today, I want you to turn to Psalm 23, and we're going to look at a message entitled, What Next? We went through the shutdowns of the COVID pandemic, and back in 2021, there was a survey taken among American people and said, describe in one word your feelings and emotions during the middle of the shutdown of the pandemic. The number one word was disappointed, and number two, we're overwhelmed. I want you to know that people did not just begin living in despair when COVID struck. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot have a relationship to the Father. And you'll have disappointment, discouragement, and you will feel overwhelmed when you're trying to live this life without Jesus being your Lord and your Savior. After living through the pandemic, we think, well, what next? What about supply chain shortages? What about the highest gasoline prices that we've ever paid in our lives? What about inflation, which has been started by our federal government? What about no baby formula? This is the 21st century. Wages are not keeping up with inflation. Retired population are taking a beating. Interest rates are rising. And we say, well, what's next? I'm thankful that God has a word when we're facing troubles, trials, and temptations. God sees to it that we have words of encouragement to help us every day that we live. Now, the key thought in this chapter that we've studied so much through the years is simply this: because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything, I shall not lack for anything, I should not worry about anything or fear what may come our way, as long as we have Jesus as our shepherd. If you look at the text there quickly, I want to read to you a commentary somebody wrote, and they link it up with every verse. I shall not lack provision. Why? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not lack peace. Why? Because he leads me beside the still waters. I shall not lack restoration or encouragement when I faint, fail, or fall. Why? He restores my soul. I shall not lack guidance or fellowship. Why? Because he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I shall not lack courage when my way is dark. Why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I shall not lack companionship. Why? Because thou art with me. I shall not lack comfort. Why? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not lack protection. Why? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of whom? My enemies. I shall not lack power. Why? Because you anoint my head with oil. I shall not lack abundance. Why? Because my cup runneth over. I shall not lack God's constant presence, because he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not lack security. Why? Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All these truths remind us that God will not leave us helpless in this life, past, present, or future. Now, the psalmist says at least two things here that we really need to rejoice about. First of all, he rejoices over the fact that God has taken care of him. He said, he's guided me, he's refreshed me, he's restored me. And then as he closes the psalm in this chapter, he says he's rejoicing over the fact that his shepherd is going to be with him when he comes to the end of his journey on this earth. As you read this psalm, I want you to notice the first three verses. He's talking about God. In the last three verses, he's talking to God. We need to study. Take advantage of Bible study on Sunday mornings. Take advantage of your Bible reading during the week. We need to learn all we can about our Savior and Lord, just as much as possible, because when trials come our way, we're going to find ourselves not only listening to God, but we're going to be talking to God. And by the time David wrote the sixth verse, he seems to say, what next? The best is yet to come. Verse 6, David's insured life. Now, there's two words you want to underscore here. He says, surely, and he uses the word shall, depending on the translation that you have. This is a personal psalm. Look at what he does. He says, I do an inventory of the past. And he uses the word surely. It means without a doubt. What David is saying, based on my past experience, I have confidence in the future because my God is tried and true. Now, this type of confidence comes from spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. All those promises that you're learning from the Word of God, when you have a crisis, when you need guidance, even when you're having the great times of rejoicing, those things that you claim, those promises, come true as your life is fleshed out. Sometimes we memorize scripture just to help us along the way. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Surely. Notice what else? Proverbs 16, 3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Surely. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Just go back and inventory your life just with a little snapshot. You will find God's unseen hand was right there. And the way he took care of you in the past, he'll take care of you in the future. And he'll take care of you throughout all eternity. John Wimber, some of you rock and roll fans from the 60s remember who that was. He belonged to a musician in the Paramours. You remember the Paramours? The Paramours decided that was not a marketable name, so they changed their name to the Righteous Brothers. Well, in 1963, John Wimber, one of their musicians, he got saved. And of all things, God called him to preach. He gave up the Righteous Brothers. He gave up his music career. And some of you remember the Vineyard Movement. He was key in leading that across our nation. But later on, he said something that I really love and we ought to remember. He says, here's how I consider myself since I gave my life to Christ. He said, I am change in God's pocket to spend any way he sees fit. You can resign your life and surrender your life to the one who is tried and is true. And that's what the psalmist tells us. Notice the insight for prospects of our future. The psalmist also uses the word first, surely, now uses the word shall. He said, I'm glad that we can meet the future with confidence. We can face the days that are before us because we have a promise from God that assures us. It is great to have confidence in a nation where there is no confidence. Our faith is in the Lord. And that's what David is saying here. There are multitudes of people who are living with uncertainties, but God's children should not be living by the standards of the day. Notice the assortment of days we're going to face. We think about midsummer. Right now, this is August heat. Amen? Would you agree with that? What is it going to be like in August? And Lord, please send us some rain. You know, every now and then I turn my sprinkler on and I say, well, what a hypocrite you are. You prayed for rain this morning. And then I have mixed emotions about whether I want rain by the end of the day. We've got our four seasons. And we have to live through those four seasons. Some of you like heat, some of you like cold, some of you like pollen, some of you like just the 70s and the 80s. We all like different things. Somebody said, we're going to face days of sunshine and days of shadow, days of rest and days of rush. We're going to find days of peace and days of peril, days of triumph, day of trials, day of delight and depression, pleasure, pressure, glory and gloom, calmness and calamity. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow you may get a text, you may get a tweet, you may get an email or a real phone call, and one of your loved ones just passed away. No warning, just a sudden death. I talked to a man last week that his nephew died one day, and this man's brother, the father of the nephew, died the next day. And this man I was talking to, his other brother, found out last week he has a brain tumor and had to have surgery for a malignant brain tumor. When I called this gentleman, he just broke down on the phone. He just didn't see this coming. But he also shared his faith over the phone and about how the Lord was going to take care of them as he was shedding tears during that conversation. You walk into your office and you thought you were going to be promoted soon, and all of a sudden you've been terminated. You have a couple that gets excited because they're expecting a child, but 3 years ago, the young lady was told that she could not bear a child. She could not conceive a child. All the days are going to be different days, and as you look through the psalm, you can see that a believer can experience a variety of things. Listen to what one commentary says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's for difficult days. He restores my soul. Boy, that's for those despondent days. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, those are those dangerous days. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's for those distressing days. My cup runneth over. Those are the days of blessing and rejoicing. And the only way to avoid these types of days, listen to me, the only way to avoid that variety of days is die. That's it. These days are going to come, whether you like it or not, behind everything that's going on in your life. But notice there are no accidents when you're dealing with God. They're divine appointments. That's why he gives us promises. Notice the inspiration of days in the future. Look at these words, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, regardless of the variety of the days. He says goodness and mercy. And I want you to write this down if you don't see anything else. Very simple. Write down the word goodness. That's for my needs. Goodness comes from God's hand. Mercy is what I need during my failures. Mercy is from God's heart. Think about something. Whatever your need is today, God's goodness will be there. Whatever failure that's there, God's mercy will be there. That takes a lot of stress off of you. Mercy speaks of those grievous times in our lives, times of correction, forgiveness, compassion, understanding that's needed. Mercy means to be filled with pity, filled with a willingness to help. When you're enrolled in the fold of the Good Shepherd, he makes a commitment to you. You belong to him from now on. Have you noticed when the president comes to Atlanta, you know, do not go to the Atlanta area. Just don't go there. You've got the city police, you've got the county police, you've got the GBI, you've got the FBI, and you've got the Secret Service. They're going to tie up every main thoroughfare that goes through Atlanta, Georgia, for at least half a day, even if he's there for 20 minutes to speak. Think about the shepherd. He knew his sheep by name. He knew how many he had. And a wealthy shepherd had two sheepdogs. So at the end of the day, if the shepherd's leading the sheep to a safe place for the night, if he's a wealthy shepherd, all he's doing is listening and looking forward. And if he can listen and can hear his dogs barking, he knows that there's some wandering sheep, and they're barking at the sheep that have lost their way and nibbling at their hooves and directing them all the way back to the fold. So that wealthy shepherd, he don't have to look right or left. He looks straight ahead where he's leading the sheep. And the dog, Spark and Spike, are doing all the work. If you were not a wealthy shepherd, you didn't have dogs. You had a slingshot. And what you did is you tried to lead those sheep, but if one strayed off, if they're going that way, what he did, he would load a stone in his slingshot and shoot it out in front of the sheep, startling the sheep, turning the sheep back into his direction. Sometimes he had to fire behind the sheep, sometimes in front of the sheep. But in either case, he had to keep them in the flock. The Lord has two ways. He has other ways. But when we're straying from the fold, He has goodness and he has mercy to get our attention. We must keep something else in mind about sheep. They have a tendency to just wander with no direction at all, and the good shepherd sends those sheepdogs after them. We think about people that allowed COVID to distract them from ever coming back to church again. God needs to send the sheepdogs goodness and mercy to get their attention. There are times we take the blessings of God for granted. There are times we are going through a crisis and we just don't sense the presence of God in our lives. And that's when God sends goodness down to where we are, reminding us of the things he's done in the past. Now, I want you to look at the expectation of our destination. Now, David goes from talking about confidence that he has in God and the conviction he has in God to a contentment that he has in God. After everything good that he said about God, it's now, as he's saying, the best is yet to come. That's where you get into my cup runneth over. It's no secret that a couple of the staff members and I we love to eat at Stanley's on North Broad. We eat there because they have bars in the windows, and we don't sit with our backs to the doors, but they sure do have good food. They have the best homemade banana pudding in a restaurant that you ever place in your mouth. We've been taking Richard Brown over there, and he's been telling Denise he's going to tear it carrier, but he hadn't done it yet, and we're thinking about sending Richard to the Betty Ford Clinic for his addiction to that banana pudding. And what I like to do is get one of the seasoned employees there, because they know we're regular customers, and if you order the small, they always put an extra scoop on top. I like that. And when Delaine would go with me, she's not supposed to eat banana pudding. She's allergic to it. When I'd order a small, she said, well, just let me taste something. Guys, have you ever had your wife just say, let me taste that? Go in the Old Testament. There's something called the remnant theory over there. And so now when she goes with me, I order the large. And that way I at least get the equivalent of the small. My cup runneth over. And he's talked about going through the journey of life and God standing with him through the journey, but he says the best is yet to come. He talks about a personal place. Look at these three words in the last verse. He says, I will dwell. When you face the end of your day, when you draw your last breath, when God sends that death angel escort down to take you back to the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he says, I will dwell there forever. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. People don't like to talk about death. That's why 70 to 75% of the people of America don't have a will. Don't go into the next life to heaven, leaving your family with that mess. The state will get most of your assets. But people just don't like to talk about dying. Psalm 23, I can't help but picture in my mind sheep as they line up to get ready to go back to that sheepfold. And there's the shepherd. He's counting them off. He knows them by name. We think about our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows our name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything. He also knows that we are heaven bound because of the cross and the blood and the resurrection of his Son. And this is the reason why he closes like this. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know the shepherd. The shepherd knows me. I am his and he is mine. The psalmist knew personally that the best is yet to come. He also talks about a prepared place. You know, everybody needs a home. They're currently building 150 houses below our neighborhood on the old BAA golf course. And I'm wondering, where in the world are these people going to come from? Are there jobs in Rome and Floyd County for these people? And then the city of Rome has annexed across the street the horse pasture over here as the new proposed site for 1,100 new homes. Where are these people coming from? Probably Fulton and Gwinnett County, but I don't know if we got jobs for all these people. Everybody wants a home for their body, but we all need a home for our soul. Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for his children. I was thinking about when I wrote this sermon a while back. He goes to prepare a place for us. How long has he been preparing that place? Almost 2,000 years. Can you imagine what kind of place that will be for the saints? John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it not so, I told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus not only prepared heaven for us by dying on the cross, but he prepared this heaven for a prepared people. We like to say, boy, I'm living to the age now that I've got more family and friends in heaven than I've got here on earth. A lot of us are living like that. But what's going to make heaven heaven is the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to see my family members that preceded me. I want to see those who will follow me. But you know, heaven has a lot of mysteries. But one thing we do know about heaven, there's plenty of room in heaven. It's a large place, a lovely place. It's a loud place. But the other thing I like is it's a permanent place. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word dwell, mark it down. It means I will sit. That doesn't mean you won't be doing anything. But figuratively, it means I will sit, I'll remain in the presence of the Lord for the rest of eternity. Somebody said rest will be found. Needs will be met. Death will be destroyed. Diseases permanently healed. Grief is going to be gone. Satan defeated. And sin will be removed forever and ever. Boy, David says, I'm going to leave you this assurance. Heaven is for real. And he says, with this shepherd experience, the presence and the provision of the shepherd, he says, I'm living in assurance of I know where I'm going when I die. Why is that? Because he has faith in the shepherd's words and in the shepherd's ways. On March 9th of this year, a ship was discovered 10,000 feet deep off the icy, in the icy waters off the Antarctica. It was a ship, an exploration ship, that sank 107 years ago. It was a wooden ship. It was 144 feet long. It was under the command of Shackleton, Ernest Shackleton, the great explorer. It got encased in ice. It took on water. Then it sunk. Everybody got off the ship in lifeboats and escaped to a little place called Elephant Island. Shackleton took 5 men in a small whale boat to try to get help. He left behind 28 of his sailors on Elephant Island, and he had one man there that he trusted to be in command. and his name is Frank Wild. Frank Wild, every day, he told those that were left behind, deserted on Elephant Island, they had chores they had to do just to try to survive, to get enough food to survive and to survive the cold. But every day, he said, stow your gear, pack your gear, because our boss, Shackleton, may be back to rescue us today. Every day, for 128 days, he gave the same command. Men, stow your bags. Pack your bags. Because the boss may be back here to get us. And on the 128th day, after 5 failed attempts of getting a rescue boat back to Elephant Island, Shackelford showed up to take his men to safety and back home. So what's next? Maybe our death. But the other thing is, it may be rapture. We need to be faithful. We need to be like change in the Savior's pocket, wanting him to spend us any way he wants to. He's going to call us home one day. It's not going to catch him by surprise. But then, he may just show up before the end of the day. Well, I sure am ticked about gas prices. I sure don't like it when they give out a toilet paper. I sure hate it when the Supreme Court decides they're not going to legislate, they're going to interpret law. Some people hate that. But you know what? My faith doesn't lie in this world, in this society, and in governments. My faith is in Jesus Christ. So if I have to pay $6 for that gasoline, praise God, I'm going to live for him today, and I'm ready for him to come take me home. That's what's next. Will you stand right where you are? Heavenly Father, thank you for encouraging us through your word. Help us keep our eyes on you and on your principles, and help us live a surrendered life. We're invested in kingdom work until this journey for us personally is over on this earth. And then the best is yet to come in your presence. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm going to invite you to do that. Because without Christ, what next for you is not good, especially eternity. And you don't want to go throughout this life without his power and his presence in your life. Know that Jesus lived a perfect life. He willingly died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for the gift of salvation that you and I could never earn with our good works and good deeds. And he said, whosoever just invites him into their heart shall be saved. Some of you need to make that decision today. And I'm not saying this to pressure you. I'm saying this out of a heart of love and concern. When we give the invitation, if you're not sure how to do that, if you'll just meet one of our staff members at the front or at the Welcome Center, the Connect Desk, in the Family Life Center, without any pressure, we'll show you how to trust Jesus for salvation. Some of you need to be a candidate for membership and Bad Believers Baptism. Some of you searching for a church home, and you know that you've prayed about it, God's given you peace. I'm just one of those folks that believes if the rapture happened, I want to make sure that I'm involved in a Bible-believing, soul-winning, missions-involved church. I want to be found doing when Jesus comes. We'll write for you a letter. We'll take care of the details, but you do what God's called you to do. So, Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for public and private decisions. And pray they'll give honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Richard's coming forward with the praise band, along with Dan and the Family Life Center. And we invite you here in the worship center, the Family Life Center, to come forward with your decision. If you're uncomfortable with that, just meet us at the Welcome Center desk after the service or the Connect desk in the Family Life Center. If you're listening to us on your electronic device, if you'll call 706-234-1841, leave a message. One of our staff members will get back with you as soon as possible. Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.